Hello, teens. I'm in Indiana for services today, but I didn't want to miss the chance to connect with you. That's why I prepared this study video for you on YouTube. I made this video specifically for the teen study. I hope you're having a great Sabbath. For those who are coming over later for the ice cream sundae party, I plan on making a modest sundae myself and look forward to seeing your creation. I was considering the study topic and decided to focus on the upcoming Feast of Tabernacles. The Feast of Tabernacles is a highlight of the year, and it is just about a month away. As a teen, I remember being very excited about the Feast of Tabernacles and all the fun I would have. For me, we often drove to the feast about 3 hours away. There was a high anticipation in arriving at the feast. I was excited to see what our housing would be like, what friends would be there on opening night, be able to wear new clothes, and enjoy the exceptional food my parents would buy for the feast. What a huge blessing it was to go to the feast as a teen. The Feast of Tabernacles is a time that God intended to be a joyous occasion, a very joyous time. Let's look at this instruction. We can even call it a command. If you have your Bible or mobile device with a Bible, let's all go to this scripture. Deuteronomy 16, verse 13. We will read this today, and I will want us to focus on rejoicing, helping others rejoice, and putting our attention to learning about God's way during the church service at the feast. Let's begin reading from verse 13. You shall observe the Feast of Tabernacles 7 days when you have gathered from your threshing floor and from your winepress. We see a command to observe and go to the Feast of Tabernacles. We see a command to observe. Since this has been translated from Hebrew, let's look at other English translations. The New International Version says to celebrate the Festival of Tabernacles. And the NET Bible says you must celebrate the feast. So we see a command to keep the feast. But there's also an aspect of celebrating. What else do we read? To gather from the threshing floors and from the wine press. The feast was at the end of the harvest time of the year when grain and the grains were separated, which means you could have bread. And during the grape season, which means wine could be made. And God commanded to have a feast, that you celebrate the blessings from the year. Now let's read the next verse. And you shall rejoice in your feast, you and your sons and your daughter, your male servant and your female servant, and the Levite, the stranger, and the fatherless, and the widow who are within your gates. In this verse, you are the son and daughter. What does God say? To rejoice. One translation put it this way, to be joyful. This is a fantastic instruction. God tells us to rejoice. The feast. I would like you to do exactly what God says to do at the feast. To rejoice. To be joyful. There are many ways and reasons to rejoice at the feast, and God provides a guide for rejoicing. Now keep your place here in Deuteronomy 16. Let's go back 2 chapters to chapter 14, and we will see that God designed the feast so we can truly rejoice. In this chapter, we are instructed on maintaining a tithe of your earnings for the feast. Most of you probably know the tithe is 10% of your earnings. God is telling us to spend 10% of what we made in 1 year at the feast, which is a total of 7 days for the Feast of Tabernacles. Then we have one more day, the last great day, as we call it, or the eighth day of the feast. Another way of looking at this is that we have, from my simple math calculations, about 4.6 times more money during the feast than the other times of the year. God makes it so we can rejoice. Let's read about this amazing instruction in Deuteronomy 14, 23. And we'll read through verse 27. I'm going to read this, but please follow along. Take notice how God wants us to rejoice and what we learn from rejoicing and how we can help others rejoice. Deuteronomy 14, verse 23. You shall truly tithe all the increase of your grain that the field produces year by year, and you shall eat before the Lord your God in the place where he chooses to make his name abide, the tithe of your grain and your new wine and your oil, of the firstborn of your herds and your flocks, that you may learn to fear the Lord your God always. But if the journey is too long for you to, so that you are not able to carry the tithe, or if the place where the Lord your God chooses to put his name is too far from you, when the Lord your God has blessed you, then you shall exchange it for money. Take the money in your hand and go to the place which the Lord your God chooses, and you shall spend that money for whatever your heart desires, for oxen or sheep, for wine or similar drink, for whatever your heart desires. You shall eat there before the Lord your God, and you shall rejoice. You and your household, you shall not forsake the Levite who is within your gates, for he has no part nor inheritance with you. Now, there are some key things here for us to remember. We save 10%, and we go where God chooses to put his name. Based on this instruction, the church leaders decide where to have feast locations. A lot goes into choosing a location that is in a nice area. Now, in the days of Israel, a tithe was from what they had harvested, such as grain and new wine, but also flocks. Imagine carrying 10% of your harvest and flocks to the feast. Well, God thinks ahead and says that these things can be sold and turned into money. And all those things you might like at the feast can be bought at the location of the feast. That's sure to make things easier. Now, back to rejoicing. God says, take that 10% and spend that money on the things you might like. God gives some examples of things that may not be generally in the weekly budget, but are now possible to buy. Some tasty oxen or sheep steaks, or maybe for adults, a nice bottle of wine to enjoy in moderation with that tasty sheep or oxen steak. You might have a different list for teens today. You might like that special t-shirt or hoodie, some special shoes, or to go where they have your favorite tacos or pizza. The thing for us to remember is to rejoice. Did you notice there's a reason given to rejoice? So we can fear the Lord. A way of thinking about this is that God has blessed you and your family, and he is sharing all with you through his blessings. In this way, we learn to revere and respect God for his greatness while we rejoice. As you rejoice over a new hoodie or shoes or enjoy your favorite taco, take a moment to remember that God has made all things and blessed you and your family so you can enjoy the flavors of that great taco. God made it so you have taste buds, so you can enjoy all the different tastes and flavors of a taco. Think about how boring it would be if everything tasted the same. God is not boring. and he made it so we can enjoy the things he creates, including great spices. In that way, we can learn to fear the Lord, who wants to share with us great blessings. Now, let's go back to Deuteronomy 16, where we read verse 14. I will reread it. Verse 14, and you shall rejoice in your feast, you and your son and your daughter, your male servant and your female servant, and the Levite, the stranger, and the fatherless, and the widow, who are within your gates. We are told not just to rejoice, but to make sure that others rejoice. In ancient times, families had helpers or servants, and there were those who were referred to as strangers. In this translation, those living in Israel, but not Israelites. Also the fatherless and widows. God wanted everyone to rejoice and enjoy the nice things. God is inclusive in rejoicing. He doesn't want anyone left out. As you are now getting older, I would like to ask that each of you consider how you might expand your rejoicing beyond yourself, your family, and your friends, and consider someone such as a widow. I will ask you to think about this more at the end of the study. Now let's read one more verse. Verse 15, 7 days you shall keep a sacred feast to the Lord your God in the place which the Lord chooses, because the Lord your God will bless you in all your produce and all your work so that you surely rejoice. God tells us to rejoice when we attend church each day of the feast. Here's what I would like us to think about. I was a teen, and I began enjoying sitting with my friends at the feast. When I was a teenager at the feast, like you, I wanted to make comments, even jokes, with my friends during service. But we were there to listen, learn, and respect what was being said, the speaker, and ultimately God. The church service opens with a prayer, asking for God's blessing and guidance on the service. And the service ends with a prayer. This is a particular time that is part of worshiping God and learning God's truth from His Word. We are coming before God. During the service, it isn't the time to talk and possibly disrupt others, but to learn something, to understand the meaning of the feast. I encourage you to take your Bibles and even take notes on the scriptures. Ask God to help you learn more about His ways for what He taught in the service. The Feast of Tabernacles looks forward to a time of 1,000 years of rejoicing, because everyone will have the positive benefits of following God. God's laws are all about relationships. Relationships with God and relationships with others. We are the happiest when we have good relationships. And the millennium is the time when everyone is establishing good relationships. There's a lot to learn about how that will happen. And we can apply what we learned to be happy in our lives today. The feast is getting close. Like most things, the more we prepare for something, the better it will be. So as I end, I have something I would like you to do before you leave the room. Spend 5 minutes and describe briefly on paper how you will enjoy rejoicing this year at the feast. Next, write down how you might help someone else rejoice at the feast. Think especially about what God says about the widow, the fatherless, and someone who may not be blessed to attend the feast with their family. If you're comfortable, you can share with what you wrote with others in the room, the other teens. Have a great picnic after the study, and I can't wait to meet up with you later at the Make Your Own Sunday event at our house in just a few hours. See you there.